I want you to open your Bibles, please, to two passages of Scripture, one in the Old Testament and one in the New. I'll give you the old one first. It's the book of Jonah, the book of Jonah. And the book of Jonah is on page 1076. That's if you have the same Bible I do. But the book of Jonah, chapter 1, please. And then also would like for you to turn into the New Testament, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12. And just mark your place in Jonah, if you will. We'll turn to Jonah after a while. I want to read my text out of Matthew chapter 12. But we need to refer back to the book of Jonah here in just a little bit. So just mark Jonah. Stick a bulletin in there or your husband's elbow or something just so you can get to it. All right, but let's begin in Matthew chapter 12. Now, the Lord Jesus is nearing the end of his ministry here in the 12th chapter. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and the chief priests and all are upset. They want him gone. He is convincing the people to follow him, and they don't like that. And so in verse 14, we read these words. Verse 14, it says, "Then the Pharisees went out and held a council." Now that means that they got together and had a little meeting. And in this meeting, they decided that they wanted to destroy Jesus. Look at your Bible. It says they held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Man, that's brutal, isn't it? That's pretty mean stuff right there. That's really murder right there. Murder with intent. All right, this is serious business. So the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Now, if you look at the next phrase, it says, "But when Jesus knew it," all right, so Jesus knew what they were doing. Now, look over, please, at verse 38. And here's where I want to take my text this morning. All right, the Lord Jesus knows what is in the hearts of these evil men. And so we read here now in verse 38, it says, and pay real close attention to the wording here. It says, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, 'Master, we would see a sign from thee.'" We would see a sign from thee. Now, what they're asking basically is, "Lord, you say you are the Messiah. You say you are the Son of God. Show us. Give us a sign. Let us see you do something so that we will know that you are who you say you are." All right, now look on. By the way, let me say this before I go on. The Lord Jesus had been giving sign after sign after sign after sign. It's not that they couldn't see, it's that they wouldn't see. And so now here they are, they're testing him, they're trying him. Give us a sign. Look at verse 39. "But he answered and said unto them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas.'" Now that's Jonah in your Old Testament. Jesus said, an evil and an adulterous generation is looking for a sign. He said, there will be no more signs except for one. And that's the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now you'll notice that there's a semicolon, or that there's a colon after this, after the word Jonas. Look at your Bible. Look at verse 39. In other words, he's about to tell you in the next verse what that sign will be. What sign of Jonah? Well, look at the next verse, verse 40. "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly." Now, Jonah, the book of Jonah says it was a big fish. Jesus tells us it was a whale. All right? Everybody with me so far? All right, now watch. It says, "As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Read on. It says, the men of Nineveh, that's the people that Jonah was supposed to go and preach to, but instead he got in a boat, went out in the Mediterranean to get away from Nineveh. Storm came up, they threw him over, swallowed by the great whale. Then 3 days later, he was regurgitated out of the whale, and he made a beeline to Nineveh. When he got to Nineveh, he preached, repent, and the people repented. So we read in verse 41 that Jesus said, the men of Nineveh, those guys that repented when they heard Jonah preach, they believed Jonah. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Now that's an indictment right there, folks. That's an indictment against these Pharisees and these priests. All right, I want to speak to you this morning on the sign of Jonah. Let's pray together and ask the Lord's blessings. You hold your place in Jonah and keep your Bible open to Matthew 12. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you today so very grateful for the privilege to be able to open the Word of God and preach from it this morning. Lord, thank you for the music we have heard this morning. Thank you for those great old hymns of the faith that remind us of the resurrection and so adequately and so beautifully describe it. And Lord, now we pray that you will bless us. The message centers around the resurrection of Christ, and we see its purpose and we see its application. So Lord, help us this morning to see and understand the truth of thy word. Lord, I pray you will fill me with your spirit and speak to our hearts and just bless us in a great way together. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, at this point in our Lord's ministry, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the Herodians and all the other religious entities who normally hated each other with a passion were all working together to find a way to silence and to cut off the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are greatly offended that he has made the claim that he is the Messiah. They are greatly, greatly offended at this, to the point where they have tried to do everything in their power to silence him. And now they are tired of trying to just sway the people, and they're tired of just trying to get the people to turn against him. So now they decide they're going to destroy him themselves. They themselves are going to find a way to have him executed, to have him killed, to get him out of the way. If you look at verse 38, you'll see the beginning of one of their schemes in order to accomplish this. They come to him and they said, Master, which was a joke. That was a joke. They did not believe that he was their master. He did not believe that he was a teacher. That's the equivalent of saying teacher. They didn't call him rabbi, but instead used the term master, indicating teacher. And they said, we would see a sign from thee. Now, folks, I want you to understand that this is a sad commentary on the condition of these men's hearts. This is a sad commentary on their heart condition. They had seen all of his miracles. They had heard his messages. They had witnessed his testimony, his life. They had listened as he took the Old Testament Bible and proved out of the Old Testament Bible that he was who he said he was, that he was the Son of God, and yet they refused to believe. The Lord Jesus said to them, there will be no sign given except for the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So I want you to notice what the Lord Jesus did. See, folks, you need to understand that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Both Testaments, New, Old, both speak of the same person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all through that Old Testament is the promise, right from the very beginning, when Adam first sinned against God, God promised a Redeemer would come. And the rest of the Old Testament, from Genesis chapter 3, where man sinned, the entire Old Testament is nothing but prophecy concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus to die on Calvary's cross and pay the penalty that men owe for sin. God promised a Redeemer. And so all the way through that Old Testament is mention of Jesus coming. And now here he has come. And these religious people, I'm talking about these people that should have known that he had come. They missed it. They did not want to see it. They refused to see it. And so they're asking, give us a sign so we'll believe. Give us a sign so we'll know that you are the Redeemer, the Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament. And Jesus said, you'll get no other sign other than the sign of Jonah. Now, I want to serve notice on you folks. When Jesus made that statement, every one of these religious leaders knew exactly what the sign of Jonah was. Every one of them. For you see, Jonah is one of the greatest books in the Old Testament. It's one of the greatest stories you'll find in the Bible. And I want to say this. Before I get to the Old Testament account of Jonah, I want you to get Pinocchio out of your mind, would you? Get Geppetto out of your mind. All right? No, Disney has nothing to do with what I'm about to describe for you. Get that completely out of your mind. I don't want you to see some little old wooden guy or some little old man sitting around with a fire burning, you know, with a stick fixing dinner. Get that out of your head. All right, that's no. Get all that out of your head. Now, let's go back to Jonah for a minute. Jonah in the Old Testament is a fascinating character. Jonah was born in Galilee, and he was a prophet called of God, and God told Jonah that he wanted him to go to Nineveh. Now, what does that mean to you? Well, probably nothing, but let me explain to you what Nineveh means. Nineveh was a huge city-state, had this great big wall around it, impregnable wall, and Nineveh was a city of the Assyrians. The Assyrians were Israel's enemy. So get it now. Here is a prophet from Israel, and God speaks to his heart and says, leave Israel, leave where you are, and go to Nineveh, go to Assyria. And when Jonah got the word that God wanted him to go, Jonah decided, I'm not going to do that. You say, well, preacher, why wouldn't Jonah obey God and go to Nineveh? Well, you got to realize that Nineveh was Israel's enemy. And if Jonah went into the camp of the enemy, he surely was sitting there thinking, wait a minute, if I go to Nineveh, being a Jew, and I am preaching the gospel of Christ, they're going to kill me. I'm not going to be welcome in Nineveh. I'm not going to go there. And then he probably further thought through the thing, and he thought, you know, if I do go to Nineveh and they don't kill me, and then I come back to Israel, then the Israelis are going to want to know, how were you able to go into the enemy's camp and survive? And then they'll kill me for being a traitor. And so this man's got a problem, does he not? And so he, rather than obey God, you know the story. You know what he did. He went down to Joppa on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, and he found a ship, and he got in the ship and paid the fare and went down in the bottom of the ship thinking, I'll just go down here and take a nap and escape all my problems, you know. And so he's down asleep, and they're out in the middle of the Mediterranean, and all of a sudden a storm comes up. It was not just your average storm. It was a Hurricane Godzilla that showed up, all right? And here are these professional fishermen, these seamen, and they start throwing stuff over the side of the ship. They said, we're not going to make this. What are we going to do? And so they decided they'll pray to their gods. So they prayed to their heathen gods, and they got no answer. And then they decided, well, we got to do something. And so they cast lots. You know, they rolled the dice and wanted the gods to direct them as to how things were going to happen. And so when they rolled the dice, it came up that Jonah was the problem. So they went down, they woke him up, they got him upstairs, and they said, "You're the problem. And Buster, you're going overboard." So they grabbed him by the nape of the neck, and they grabbed him by the seat of the breeches and threw him overboard. When he went overboard, instantly the storm stopped. It was amazing. Absolutely phenomenal. But something else phenomenal took place. As soon as Jonah hit the water, God had prepared a fish, a great whale. And as soon as Jonah hit that water, whoop, it got him. And every Jew knew that story. It's in the Word of God. You say, "Pastor, do you really believe that?" I most certainly do. The Lord Jesus said it was so. That's good enough for me. You say, "Well, I don't know how it is possible for a man to live 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish." It wasn't possible. He died in that fish. You say, "But wait a minute. He came out." Yeah, God resurrected him. It's a sign. It's the sign that Jesus, that's why it's in the Bible, folks. That's why it's there. And here's Jonah in the Old Testament, and every Jew is sitting there going, "Wow, this is amazing." I mean, they threw him over, a whale grabs him, he dies in the whale, but then he comes back to life. Woo! What a God! And so over here in the New Testament, here are these unbelieving Jews, are you listening? Here are these religious people, and they're saying, "You say you're the Messiah? You say that you are the King of the Jews? You say that you are the Son of God? Show us a sign of that." Jesus said, "There will be no more signs. I've given you sign after sign after sign. You will not believe them. Here's one you're not going to be able to deny. Here's one that when you see it, you're going to be just like they were back in the Old Testament, scratching your head going, wow." Just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly and lived to tell about it, I will be 3 days and three nights in the ground, but I will live to tell about it. Just as God resurrected Jonah and sent him, God resurrected Jesus and has now sent him. All right? Everybody understand that now? All right. Now, two things. I want you to see the picture. What's the sign? All right? It's so simple. It's right before our eyes. Here it is. Number one, Jonah was cast overboard to his death. Jonah was cast overboard to his death. I want you to understand that, folks. Just think about it for a moment. Jonah was sacrificed so others could be spared the judgment of God. Jonah was spared so that others, or was sacrificed so that others could be spared the judgment of God. Go back to look at the first chapter of Jonah. Go back to it. Look at verse 14. It says, "Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then these men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." You see, either they all died or Jonah died. That's what it boiled down to. Jonah was cast into the sea so that they might live. Jonah was thrown overboard so that they might live. And as soon as he was thrown overboard, the waters calmed. The judgment hand of God was held back when Jonah was cast over the side of the ship. Jonah was thrown to his death so that the others could live. What a picture. And Jesus was telling these Pharisees, look, guys, I know what's in your hearts. I know that you plan to execute me. You plan to kill me. But he was also telling them that just like those men threw Jonah overboard, when you throw me overboard, I'm going to live to tell about it. Just as Jonah lived to tell about it, I'm going to live to tell about it. Folks, listen, you say, well, why would he do that? You got to understand something, folks. The wages of sin is death. Somebody's got to pay your sin debt. You see, the wages of sin is death. Paul said that. He said that statement after he made the statement, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that I'm a sinner and you're a sinner and all the folks in the balcony are sinners. We're all sinners against God. And God says that there is a penalty to sin. The wages of sin is death. Now, you know what that means? That means, dear friend, that somebody has to pay your debt. Somebody has to do it. Now, that's why Jesus came. He came to die on Calvary's cross and take your sin and my sin and pay the penalty of that sin in our place. And the innocent dies while the guilty go free. So the judgment hand of God is looming over the head of every one of us sitting in this room today. I said one night during the Living Cross, I said, there's really only one kind of people in this world, and that's sinners. But there are two kinds of sinners in this world. There are saved sinners and there are unsaved sinners. I'm glad I'm in the saved sinner category, but I'm still a sinner. But thank God I'm a saved sinner. And as a saved sinner, I've trusted Christ as my Savior, and I'm on my way to heaven. Now, if you're here today and you've never called upon the name of the Lord, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, then you sit here as an unsaved sinner, and you need the Lord. And the judgment hand of God is looming over every one of us. The wages of sin is death. And somebody is going to have to pay your sin debt. Now, it's either going to be you or it's going to be Jesus. And if you'll trust Christ, then he will pay it for you. But someone has to pay your sin debt. And just as Jonah was thrown overboard by those sailors, the Pharisees were scheming to throw Jesus overboard, so to speak. But God resurrected Jonah from the dead, and God also resurrected his son from the dead when he died to provide a way for our sins to be paid for. So the Lord Jesus was saying that this same thing that happened with Jonah is going to happen again. Now, don't forget, the Pharisees were out there scheming, having a council together, how they might destroy him. And then they come, give us a sign. Please, please, please. You've been given all these signs. You won't believe. You won't believe. You've been given sign after sign, and yet you won't believe. And Jesus is basically saying to them that after their bitter hatred for him had come to its fruition, and they had accomplished his death, that he would return from the dead. And folks, that's exactly what he did. Now, would you just think, again, get Disney out of your head. Get Pinocchio out of your head. Listen, think about this. When Jonah was thrown overboard, there's no way he could have survived that. Now, you just put yourself in that situation for a minute. I don't know about you, but as soon as they threw me overboard, I would have died of fright. Wouldn't you? Be honest about it. I mean, I would have died of fright right there. Just boom, I'm dead. Scared to death. The headline's in the next day. Pastor, church home door, dies scared to death. That'd be me. Can you imagine? I mean, as soon as you hit that water, whoop. and you look around and you can't see anything because it's dark. Hey, there was no building a fire down there. There's water in those things. They weren't down there warming their hands by the fire. The man died when they threw him overboard. He wasn't down there swimming around for 3 days. Good grief. He died. You say, well, I don't know how he could have come back to life. That's where God comes in. May I remind you that nothing is impossible with God? And I want you to think about it, folks. You would not have been able to survive an ordeal like that. I mean, sheer panic would have scared you to death. You'd have had a heart attack for sure. I'm saying the man died, but he was resurrected to life. So Jonah was cast overboard. He was cast overboard to his death. Now, here's the point. Bringing it back to Christ. Let's bring it back to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was cast overboard to his death by these Pharisees. He was abandoned. He was rejected. He was handed over to death, to die, by these Pharisees. They said, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Jesus said, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given but the sign of the prophet Jonah. They finally succeeded in Christ's death. They finally accomplished. And Jesus was nailed to the cross and gave his life. Folks, think about that for just a minute. At 9 o'clock in the morning, they nailed him to that cross. From 9 o'clock until noon, the people came and they laughed and they mocked and they jeered. And they called out to him and said, hey, if you're the Son of God, if you're really God's Son, then come down off the cross and save yourself. But he endured the shame and he stayed on the cross. Don't you think for a minute that he couldn't have come down. He could have come down. He was God. God in the flesh, but he was God. He was not 50% man and 50% God. No, he was 100% God and 100% man. He could have come down. He said to Peter earlier, he said, Peter, put your sword up when they were in Gethsemane. Put your sword up. He said, do you not know that I could right now call 12 legions of angels to come and protect me? Oh, he could have. But that's not why he came. He came to be thrown overboard so that you and I could have a Redeemer. That's why he came. From 12 until 3, darkness fell upon the earth. And it was during that time that Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was during that time that everything the devil had, he threw at him. He suffered. He cried, I thirst. Can I remind you that that rich man in hell cried out, I thirst. Jesus was suffering your hell on that cross. He was paying the wages that you owe for your sin on that cross. For 3 hours, he hung between heaven and earth. One part of it pointing towards heaven where his Father was, where he would save us to. One part pointing towards hell where he would save us from. And one point going east and one point going west, showing us the scope of all that he died for. He died for all the world. And finally, he lifted his head and he said, it is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost and he died. He died. Do you hear me, folks? He died. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know he died? Because they buried him. That's how I know. Now, I know you probably heard these theologians say, well, you know, he probably was just swooning, all baloney. He died. They took him off the cross and they wrapped him in grave clothes and they put him in the tomb. And they rolled the stone in front of it. And they did that because he died. Now let me show you something interesting. Go over to Matthew 26. Go over to Matthew 27. I'm sorry. Matthew 27. Watch this. Matthew 27. You talk about unbelief. You talk about hardness of heart. Folks, why don't we just believe God? Look at verse 62. Look at verse 62. Matthew 27, verse 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate. Notice that. The chief priests and the Pharisees. Same bunch as back in chapter 12. Nod your heads like this. Right? You got that? Everybody see that? Same bunch. Same bunch. In other words, the same bunch that put him to death are now coming to Pilate with a request. What is it? Verse 63, saying, "Sir, we remember that what's the next word?
Deceiver.
Said while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again." How did they know that? I'll tell you how they knew it. They knew it because he told them in chapter 12 when they said, "Give us a sign." That's how they knew it. Give us a sign. You'll get no sign other than the sign of Jonah. And I say to you again that every one of these Jews knew the sign of Jonah. They knew it well. They knew it well. And so what are they doing? They're coming to Pilate and they're saying, "Sir, we remember," verse 63, that deceiver said while he was yet alive, "After 3 days I will rise again." Well, what do you want? "Command therefore," verse 64, "that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can." So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. All right, now look at me, folks. After 3 days, what happened? What's the Bible say happened? Hey, wait a minute. Weren't those soldiers there? But when that third day came, there was not a soldier anywhere could keep him in the grave. There was not a devil anywhere could keep him in the grave. There was not a Pharisee anywhere could keep him in the grave. On that third day, just exactly as he promised, just exactly as he said, that stone was rolled away, not to let him out, but to let the others see in and know that he had indeed risen from the grave. When those ladies went running into the tomb to they saw the stone was rolled away, and they went over and they looked inside, and there was an angel that said, "Why, what y'all standing here for?" That's hillbilly for what they said. All right. "What are y'all standing here for? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, for he has risen." You want a sign? You want a sign? Won't you just read this Bible right here? Let me ask you, dear friend, I'm not trying to be unkind to you. I can be unkind without trying. I'm not trying to be unkind to you. I'm just trying to get you to think, what's it going to take to convince you? What's it going to take to convince you? Now, God love your heart. I'm so glad you're here this morning. But listen, what's it going to take to convince you that this is real? That this is true? What's it going to take to convince you? You know, the sad thing of it is, you turn over after you get through the Gospels, you turn over to the book of Acts, and you'll see a bunch of Pharisees and priest getting saved. Do you know there's something really sad about the book of Acts? There is not one instance in all of the four Gospels, or not one instance in the book of Acts, where a Sadducee got saved. You say, well, what's a Sadducee? They were the ultra, ultra liberal of the day. Not one. Pharisees? Yes. Chief priests? Yes. Many of them. But yet there are still some who will not believe. And my question to you this morning is, what's it going to take to reach your heart? So I'm waiting on a sign. You listen, folks. The fact that 2,000 years later, we're still standing here telling the same message, that it has not died, it has not vanished, it has not weakened, it has not been compromised, it has not been proven false. Isn't that enough proof for you? This place every night this week was packed to the hilt, and people raising their hands and calling upon the name of the Lord and getting saved. Still works. Give me a sign. Look around you. Look around you. It works. God is still in the soul-saving business. And when Jesus came out of that grave, it showed victory over sin, victory over death, victory over the grave, victory over the devil, victory, victory, victory. And now, whosoever will may come. You come to Him, dear friend, and the victory will be yours. Your sin debt paid for. I was thinking about this morning as I was driving in. I was thinking about, I knew what I was going to preach on. I was, whoa, what was that? That's not good. That's a piece of wood from a battle the other night. I'm going to put that right there so it gets. I was thinking about, as I was driving in, I was thinking, oh man, I'm saved. Hallelujah. Look at this beautiful morning. See that sun rising and all the trees budding and my sneezing and everything. And I was thinking, what a great day. What a beautiful day. Man, thank you, Lord, it's not snowing today. Thank you, Lord, that it, you know, it's not 10 below zero. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for this week. Thank you for all you did. And I thought, you know, man, Lord, I'm saved. And I just got to think of my sin. All of my sins are under the blood. And I just said, thank you, Lord, for that resurrection. You got the victory. And because you got the victory, when I call upon you, I get the victory. That's a comfort to anybody's heart. Do you know Him today, dear friend? Do you know Him? I want you to bow your heads with me, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around for just a moment. Let me ask you a really simple question. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, speak to our hearts this morning. Show us our need of the Savior. Lord, do a work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let me ask you a couple of personal questions this morning, and I want you to be honest with me in your answers. I want you to be as honest with me as you can. How many of you here today will say, Pastor, I know for sure that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. If I died right now, there's absolutely no doubt about it. My faith is in Christ. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I realize that He died for me. I realize that He went to that cross for me. And preacher, I've prayed, received Christ, and if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know that. Would you raise your hand and testify that you know for sure you're saved? Preacher, I know that I'm saved. There's no doubt about it. I know that I'm saved. Amen. You may put your hands down. Thank you very much. All right, now our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Look here, folks. I love you. God bless you. I'm so glad you're here. And I'm glad you were able to hear the message this morning. That message is that God loves you. You see, it's not enough that I love you. God loves you. I can't die for you. But God sent His Son Jesus to die for you. That's love. That's love. And if you're here today and you could not raise your hand to say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved, I'm going to ask you, would you raise your hand right now and say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure I'm saved, but I know I need to be saved. Pastor, would you pray for me that I'll get saved before it's too late? Would you raise your hand right now, dear friend, and let me pray for you? Just be honest with yourself. I'm not going to embarrass you. You don't have to worry about that. I'm not going to point you out. I would never do that. But I will pray for you. Everybody ought to raise their hand at least once. You're either saved or you're not. Yes, God bless you. You may put your hand down. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. I need the Lord. And I just don't know for sure, but I'm concerned about my eternal soul. Remember me in prayer. Anybody else before we pray? Anybody else? All right, let me ask you this. How many Christians here will say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I'm not living for God like I should, and God's speaking to my heart this morning. Would you raise your hand, Christian? Let me pray for you all over the building. Yes, God bless you. Many hands. God bless you. All right, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand together, please. Let's stand together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can come to you in prayer and ask your blessings to be upon this congregation of people. Lord, we're so thankful for what Jesus did for us when he went to that cross, gave his life that we might have eternal life. Lord, thank you for our Redeemer. And now, Lord, I pray that you will help folks to see their need of the Savior. Lord, I pray that folks will understand. I'm not asking anybody in here to trust me. I'm not asking anybody in here to trust the Church of the Open Door. Lord, I'm asking folks to trust in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, what a sign was given that he is who he said he was when he resurrected from the grave. There's not a greater proof anywhere. And those men standing around in their unbelief and in their criticism, and show us a sign, show us a sign. Well, Lord, you showed a sign when you resurrected your Son from the grave. Now, Lord, help us to see that sign and to believe as well. There is no other way of redemption than through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, speak to hearts this morning. I pray for these that raise their hand. Lord, help them to walk down this aisle in just a moment. And let someone take a Bible and show them from the Word of God how they can know they're going to heaven. Oh, Lord, speak to hearts, I pray. I pray that they'll not leave this building today without trusting Christ as their Savior. And, Lord, for Christians all over the building, you saw all the hands, Lord. I pray that you'll draw your people to your side. And, Lord, just bless the Christians that are here. Lord, help us to live for Jesus in our daily lives. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.